City, the good news station.
This is USA Headline News. I'm Melody Burkett. House Republicans are throwing their weight behind Congressman Paul Ryan to be the next Speaker of the House. The Wisconsin Republican was formally nominated to replace outgoing Speaker John Boehner today. The full House will confirm the nomination tomorrow. Republican presidential candidates will face off tonight on CNBC for their third primetime debate. It'll happen in Boulder, Colorado at 8 p.m. Eastern. Donald Trump, Ben Carson, Florida Senator Marco Rubio, Jeb Bush, and Carly Fiorina are among the 10 candidates taking the stage. The South Carolina deputy who threw a high school student to the floor is being fired.
He picked the student up and he threw the student across the room. That is not a proper technique and should not be used in law enforcement. That is a violation of our policy. School resource officer Ben Fields was terminated from the Richland County Sheriff's Department.
You're listening to USA Headline News. I'm Melody Burkett.
Safety for your home and family. Now that's important to you. And Gator Security with its 5-year warranty can help. With security, video surveillance, and access control, Gator Security is available at www.gatorsecurity.com or 800-676-1580. Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, is a proud corporate sponsor of WCNO. GatorSecurity.com.
Godfrey Electric is a fourth-generation, full-service electrical contractor serving St. Lucie, Martin, Palm Beach, and Broward counties. Godfrey Electric specializes in industrial, commercial, and residential electrical service work. Godfrey Electric, an underwriter of the WCNO Ministry, is available on the web at www.godfreyelectric.com or at 561-833-3753.
USA Christian News. Navy Chaplain Wes Motter can now finish his almost 20-year-long military career close to his family in San Diego. The highly decorated Motter, who served with the Navy SEALs overseas, had been entrusted with the spiritual well-being of those in the military. Then after some counseling sessions involving Christian views on human sexuality, he faced the loss of his pension. Now he has been exonerated, and according to one of his attorneys, Jeremy Dyes of the Liberty Institute, the chaplain is thrilled.
I think it was a mixture of relief. It's hard to go through circumstances like this when you're just trying to be a faithful chaplain and care for your service members. It's tough on him and his family to stand up for what they thought was right, but also at the same time, really joyous and very thankful to God that he has this religious liberty and that someone like Liberty Institute was willing to stand beside him and defend that God-given right.
For the USA Radio Network, this is John Clemens.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter, has the best in equestrian and western wear from head to toe for both horse and rider. They are your Wrangler, Pro Rodeo, and Horseman headquarters with an expanded woman's department. Also an expanded boot department with Georgia, Justin, and Wolverine boots. West of Old England is located in the Bruner Plaza, 650 Southeast Monterey Road, halfway between US 1 and Canner Highway. West of Old England.
Numbers in order to lower the risk of heart disease. Cardiologist Pamela Morris is with the National Lipid Association.
The sooner you know your cholesterol level, the sooner you begin either diet, physical activity, or cholesterol-lowering therapy, the greater chance you will have of preventing heart attack or stroke.
Dr. Morris says it's an important issue because more than 40 million American women are affected. Heart disease is the number one killer of American women. It's more deadly than all forms of cancer combined. Astronauts Scott Kelly and Shel Lindgren are safely back aboard the International Space Station after a spacewalk that lasted more than 7 hours. NASA says Kelly and Lindgren completed a number of upgrades to the orbiting laboratory. The two Americans successfully placed a thermal cover on the particle physics detector and applied grease to the space station's 57-foot robotic arm. The space agency streamed live video of the spacewalk on NASA TV. You're listening to USA Headline News. I'm Melody Burkett.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
Are we started?
You're on the air there, Joe.
Pastor Tom was hoping we had a five-second delay. He's trying to figure out how in the world he can get a five-second delay when Joe Martech's on the radio.
I've got a solution. I'll just turn the button off.
You just turn the button off. I know when I was talking to a client of mine that came from this show, and I said, you know, when I met him, I said, I hope Jesus has a sense of humor. And he says, Joe, of course he does. He puts up with you.
That's it.
So, but anyway, I was talking to a buddy of mine today, and we've heard these sayings, when the creek don't rise.
If the creek don't rise.
Mm-hmm. And he says, do you know what that means? And I says, yeah, water. And he goes, no, that's not what it was about. And he had a story that isn't exactly what I learned on the internet, but bottom line, I looked it up on Wikipedia, which Pastor Tom says you can't really depend on them, but this was pretty close in history. During the 1800s, there was a war with the Indians, and the Creeks were a tribe. So what happened, this one particular fella, a white man, American, married a Creek girl, and he got summoned to go to Washington by the president of the United States, whoever it was at that time. And what he said to the president was, he says, well, if heaven doesn't call me and the creek don't rise, I'll be there. Now, he also was a very particular person on speaking proper English. Now, you know, us redneck origins, if the creek don't rise.
Yeah, we speak plain English.
We speak plain, right? So what happened was, he meant if the Creek Nation
doesn't rise up
and stop him from coming, he will show up in Washington. It had nothing to do with water and the creek that flows along. So the moral of the story is,
and I've been avoiding getting my feet wet for all this time.
All this time for no good reason. What you have to do is avoid Indians that are named, that are from the Creek tribe. And you all set now?
If you say so, Joe.
Anyway, I just thought it was a piece of useless information I got.
It's interesting.
Well, you know, it was, and then I looked it up because the guy that I know, he says, now, you know,
what did it say? It
basically reiterated what I just said, and I looked it up, and basically what he just said, and this particular fellow was also a very persnickety American Englishman who would never speak English that wasn't proper. So if the creek don't rise was not exactly what you call proper English, but if the Creek Nation, as the language worked, doesn't rise, but it was don't, and don't fit the sentence perfectly because he wasn't talking about his wife. He was talking about the whole group of Indians coming out and stopping him from coming to Washington. Anyway, it's just a piece of useless information.
Okay.
1-888-221-8990. I know this is not why I'm here, but this is what happens with our show.
Because sometimes.
Joe Martech's a financial advisor. Those of you that have heard me before, I'm also called a stockbroker. I'm a securities principal, which means lots of licenses. Did I tell you, and there's another piece of useless information that you might get a kick out of?
What's that?
Have you ever heard of a signature guarantee stamp?
No, I've heard of people giving their signature to guarantee something. You know, okay.
If you go to the bank, you say, I need to have this notarized. The notary signs it and they stamp it.
Right.
And the notary says, okay, you're the person that you say you are, and they are guaranteeing it. And most of the time, the notary stamp is worth $10,000 worth of liability in case that they notarize something and it's not true. The liability to the notary company is $10,000. Well, if you have a signature guarantee stamp, That's a much higher level. And in transferring securities, meaning stock, from point A to point B to sell it, very often it requires a signature guarantee stamp, which is a higher level of authority guaranteeing that signature.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the signature guarantee stamp, depending on the authority of the person that has it, ranges from $1 million up to $100 million worth of guarantee that that person has.
They have a bond for that?
Well, yeah, and if you have to, here's the interesting part. This is where the trivia comes in. There's only three people that can have a signature guarantee stamp. One are officers of a national bank, not a state bank, not a savings and loan. One. Two are securities principals, which is me. So that's another license, and you get that. Now you have the authority to guarantee these transactions. The third one is my favorite one. Retired admirals. You like that one, huh, Tom?
I'm trying to put that together.
I'm watching your ears spin, and you're trying to figure this out. There's smoke coming out now because you're got it churning as best you can, but you haven't figured it out yet, have you?
Retired admiral, no.
Okay. You will figure this out immediately when I give you the story.
Well, it's because of their being at sea?
No, but you're getting close, somewhat. Let's go back to the beginnings of America. Where is our culture originated from? How about Great Britain?
Okay.
English, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Remember the language we speak is called English? Is this coming back to you now?
Kind of, sort of.
Well, we're not talking Georgia English now. We're talking real English.
Okay.
So what happened is, if you go back to, a couple of hundred years ago, which country was the most powerful country on earth?
Great Britain.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's a little tiny country, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they didn't have much dirt.
No.
They had one big island.
They acquired quite a bit of dirt.
Now, then, because they were a big island, who was then the most powerful person on earth at that time? And that was the Navy, because they ruled the earth with their Navy,
mm-hmm.
which then meant that the most powerful person in the group was the Admiral of the Navy. So, ergo, when the Admiral of the Navy put his seal on something, and back then, you know, they used wax and they'd pour it, mm-hmm. and they'd stamp
sure.
it, his word was sacred. He was the one you could depend on because he was the most powerful person. He was more powerful than the Queen or anybody because he ruled the Navy. So it became a custom that a signature guarantee was the Admiral of the Navy. And then it became a custom in America that it was an honorary thing that a retired admiral in America, the Navy, only the Navy, got a signature guarantee stamp, and he could signature guarantee and tell people for sure that this is what it is. Now, quite honestly, they don't ever use it, or if they do, it's seldom because it's an honorary thing. Guys like me, securities principal, if people want to buy or sell stock or trade stock or move it from point to point, we have to guarantee that that's their signature. And again, some of the authorities, mine is up in the millions. I don't know how much it is. I don't pay much attention. But some of them are over $100 million that they have authority to guarantee things. And you think about some of these high wigs, high rollers that are moving monster money,
mm-hmm.
they've got to guarantee that signature. That
or you're doing bank transactions.
Big deal. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, big time. Anyway, trivia. So we've had two trivia stories so far. This is, okay, folks, nice program. Goodbye.
Are we going to go for a trifecta here?
There are no more. I don't have any more.
Okay.
But Joe Martek is a financial advisor, called a stockbroker, securities principal, as I just mentioned. Lots of clients basically on the Treasure Coast, but also in 13 other states because people move and referrals, et cetera. Been around for a long, long time. I'm an old guy. I'm so unhappy about that, but nothing I can do about it. I hope to die here, not necessarily soon. But on the other hand, if I did, it's not the end of the world. Might ruin the rest of your day, Tom, if I started.
Yeah, just don't do it today.
Don't do it today. Police would come and they wouldn't let you go for 6 or 8 hours. Say,
I'd be late for dinner.
You would be late for dinner, there's no doubt about it.
Hmm.
Yeah, because I had a buddy of mine that did kill himself, and I went to the house and brought the police. I didn't even go in the house. They kept me there for 8 hours. And the detectives came and say, basically, why'd you kill him? I said, well, I didn't even get it. They didn't say that word for word, but mm-hmm. basically.
Made you feel that way.
They were looking for a homicide rather than a suicide, and this mm-hmm. was a suicide. And I knew he was going to do this stuff. There was a story there, but forget that story. But the bottom line was that the police they have this thing called
suspicion.
While I'm working, I'm keeping you until my shift is over. Anyway, so Joe Martek, security principal, stockbroker, financial advisor. Obviously, I don't know everything and never will, never have claimed to. And over a period of years, if you are what is called, in my opinion, a credible professional, you align yourself with other credible professionals. And quite honestly, knowing Pastor Tom, okay, forget that part. Let's go.
Thank now, you, Joe.
And I'm only picking on him because I have tremendous admiration and affection for Pastor Tom because he knows his stuff. And he has very good convictions. Well, forget that part. You didn't go to jail very long, did you?
Never been in jail, Joe.
Not even to visit?
No, I've been there to visit.
Okay, well,
I've never been an inmate.
Inmate. Okay, mm-hmm. That was good. Not even for an hour?
No.
See, when you were a kid.
But I've been talked to sternly by the police.
I know. Okay, I feel better. Because you were a teenager one time, right?
Oh, yes. But even younger than that.
Oh, you got talked to sternly by... See, yeah. Back when I was a kid...
It was Marvin's fault.
Hey, we had the same buddy. What can I tell you? Anyway, so the concept of a guy that is a credible professional, like me, you have to align yourself with other people, and you don't want to have any one of your clients go to anybody that you recommend that you don't have 100% faith in. So over a period of years, I put together a group, and we don't own each other, we don't house, we don't share offices, we don't share commissions or fees. These are all independent people. But I wanted to get, in my opinion, people that would help my clients. Now, most of my clients are retired or nearly or should be or could be, but they're going to have questions that are involving the law. They're going to have questions involving taxes. They're going to have questions involving insurance, real estate, all kinds of things that I possibly cannot know. I mean, my end of it, there's over 30,000 investments that people can be in, and you think I know all 30,000? The answer is no. Nobody does, but I try to stay in just my one bailiwick. So over a period of time, I had to find these people that I considered credible, and I wanted people that were not new in business. Why? Well, not a new in business person could be just as honest as an old person, but an old person has weathered the storm and gained a lot of experience. And if you're going to make mistakes, normally you make them when you're young, especially if you're a credible professional, and now you've been in business for 10, 15, 20, 30 years, you are extremely cautious about saying anything that might be construed as not 100% truthful. So first members of the group were Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. Big word, independent. He doesn't work for one insurance company. He works for the client. Right now, Dan has gotten into his umbrella of companies, over 80 different companies, and in my humble opinion, he is the premier agent on the Treasure Coast, period. He has more credibility, as far as I'm concerned, than anybody, and Dan also is a flat good person. He's just a flat good person. Mm-hmm. And that counts big points to me, too. He's not arrogant. He's not pretentious. He's just a flat good guy. You know, I was picking on...
You know what about Dan? Dan was in here on a previous program. And when the program was over, he was discussing trying to help people, and
yeah.
It had nothing to do with his business.
Right.
There was just some people that needed help, and he was inquiring about how that these people needed some help and what could be done, and
right.
Did we know anybody? And, you know, when a person is concerned about other people like that, it shows, and I'm sure that it shows in his business as well.
And that is Dan. And when we first met through a common friend, you know, both of us were a bit wary. I said, I'm starting this radio show, and I need to get credible professionals. So we talked and met and talked and met and talked and met. And he was the first one that they put together. Now, simultaneously, I said, another person that's critical to this group is an attorney. Now, you know, folks, you don't have to start shaking when you hear that word and have goosebumps rise up on you. Finding what I call a user-friendly attorney is not the easiest thing to do. Most attorneys, in my humble opinion, again, this is my opinion, are a bit arrogant, a bit pretentious, not necessarily have a good bedside manner.
Well, I've met a lot of nice attorneys. I really have.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. With any of them in Florida?
Several of them.
Okay. You going to write me a list?
I can.
Okay, after the show. I have used, now one of the things that happens, folks, when I first meet a new prospect or suspect, one of the first things I ask him is, are you ready to die? Now, there's two answers to that. The answer is yes, which is a good one. And there you might be, are you ready to meet God, is one part of that. And the second one is, do you have your financial affairs in order? Which, if you're an attorney, you call that estate planning. Now, your estate might be a pack of gum, but that's what you own, and that's
whatever it. Your possessions
whatever
are.
Whatever you own, whether it's a pack of gum or on the way up, that's your estate. So now it becomes a matter of a will or a trust, and how many families, Tom, you, me, everybody that deals with a lot of people, have seen families come apart. We have seen perfectly good, wonderful families just absolutely become abysmal because of lack of
more plan. Often than you would care to.
More often than you would care to. So I kind of feel it is a responsibility to stir the pot and to try to get these pieces in order. Hmm. And in fact, I had somebody.
And it's people that, you know, younger people, and I did this as well as a lot of young people. They think, well, I'm only in my 20s or 30s. Yeah. I don't need a will yet.
No, right.
Well, you know, my daughter passed away at 35. Yep. I know other people that have passed away when they were young. And when they do, without a will,
that's right,
they got troubles. States. Well, they don't have troubles. The people they leave behind have troubles.
What happens is, and it becomes quite a bit, it's onerous, and it takes a long time. Once you go into the probate system, you're talking 6 months normally. That's if nothing goes wrong. If everything goes right, it's 5 or 6 months under normal circumstances. And if you have multiple pieces of property, or it can be much longer. Howard Hughes, if anybody knows that
many
name,
years.
It's still not settled, and it probably never will be. Elvis Presley took forever. I mean, all kinds of things can happen if people are not prepared. So I consider it a bit of my responsibility to do that. Then finding an attorney that was, quote, user-friendly, not pretentious, not arrogant, good listener, fair, meaning doesn't gouge people. I met Greg 20-some years ago, and then I used lots of different attorneys, but I ended up going back to Greg and going back to Greg and going back to Greg, to the point after 5 or 6 years, I said, I'm only going to go to Greg from now on. And then if Greg can't handle it, he'll point me in the right direction, because very often attorney says, oh yeah, I can handle that. And they don't have a clue because it's not their specialty, but you now are paying them to learn how to do what you're paying them to do that you thought they knew. So Greg is one right away. Like, as an example, I've had a couple of clients over the years that needed to go bankrupt. Greg says, Joe, I don't do that, but I know this guy down there and I trust him. And that's it. Bam, it's over with. He gives me a referral to somebody. And when Greg does that, I take that to the bank, because I trust the man 1,000,000%. He's just one of the better people that you'll ever meet. And the end of it is, more than anything, he's user-friendly. He is a good listener. He's not probably the only guy I know as an attorney I'd like to have as a next door neighbor, because he's just a flat, easygoing guy. So we started off with those three, and then over a period of time, we definitely needed a CPA. Now, I could have got a tax man, but quite honestly, I'd rather have somebody that has all of the credentials, all of the education, and when a CPA puts his name on something, he has some pretty strong liability when it comes to the government, making sure that what you're doing is accurate. And here's another guy. I mean, here's Vince Rosino, CPA, who's also a forensic CPA, which means he's recognized by the courts as an expert witness. He was a college professor. He's another guy who's been in business a long, long, long time.
He's another genuinely good guy.
Well,
I like him because he tries to keep you straight.
I know, that's tough. You know, see, neither one of us like you, because you both try to keep me straight.
Right?
But he's just a flat good guy,
he
too
is.
And he works with people and he helps people, and I guess one of the missions that we have as professionals when we came into Christian Radio was to say, hey, our main mission here is to help people answer questions and help them over situations that maybe we take for granted or maybe we can help them with. And everyone in our group will talk to people on the phone. We'll even meet with them. We're not going to charge them a nickel until you get hired. And you may not get hired if we can help people quickly and get it taken care of without charging anything. We do that. And thank you, Lord, that we're able to do it. And then Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, I nicknamed her Miss Bubbles years ago. She's a Chiquita banana. This girl has two speeds. She's either working or sleeping. But she's the hardest working realtor I know. You can't get her to lie no matter what you do. She's written up as one of the top 100 REMAX agents in the entire world. Got a commendation from our local senator. She's just she knows her stuff. She knows her stuff, and she'll tell you, and she'll show you, and she'll prove it to you, and she'll work with people. Which leads me to Mike Paulus, who's the newest member, who's only 25 years in business, as a mortgage broker, because people have watched the debacle of real estate since 2009, when this recession and all of the everything fell apart and the prices of real estate were overpriced and mortgages were easy. Mike knows his stuff. One of the things that happens with Mike, if you want to buy a house over the phone, he'll tell you what you can qualify for and how you can qualify for, because he'll run a credit report for you in 10 minutes. You go into the bank, may take you 2 or 3 weeks to get turned down. Mike will tell you up front within just a very few minutes where you stand. And I guarantee you this, he's no more expensive than if you go into any bank or any lender, whoever it might be. But having Mike on your team is like having your brother on the team. I mean, not necessarily that's a good thing, because not all brothers are good, but I'm just saying you're going to be comfortable with him. So the concept of the group was very simple. Local professionals that are here to help people. And, you know, one of the perks in life is getting paid to help people. Can you imagine that, Tom? You know, it's kind of like being a preacher, right?
I can imagine so.
Yeah, wait a minute here.
Kind of like. No, I mean, you're in a business where you want to help people and give them the advice, the direction that they might come to you for.
Right. But there's no such thing. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not a philanthropist. How do I phrase it? Because in order to be a philanthropist, you have to have a lot, as I see it, multi-millions of dollars, which I don't. So I need to get paid. But truth is, when I help people first.
But you have lost a few shirts in your life.
You're no kidding. But I don't mind. You know, my philosophy has always been I'd rather.
You gave them away.
I'd rather be taken advantage of than take advantage of.
Sure.
You know, every time you and I know you've done it, have loaned, quote, somebody $100, $500, sometimes you say, that was good. I'm never going to get it back, but they didn't get me for $5,000.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. All it amounts to is.
Well, the way I look at it, if I can't afford to give it away, I don't give it.
And that's just a fair thing. And that right there. That is one of the curses of having a few bucks, is that sometimes you have to make the decision to help somebody.
Make it a gift.
Yeah. I told my kids goodbye.
You know?
I told my kids, I said, I'll never loan you any money. I'll give you money, but I ain't going to make it easy. You know, you're going to have to convince me, because I know I'm going to never get it back, because I'm not going to ask it, that it's the right thing to do. So, you know, you're going to have to sell me on it. Don't just say, hey, Dad, I need $5,000. Okay, fine, here it is. No. What do you need it for? And we will now beat it up for a while to make sure it's, in my opinion, the right decision.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I'm not doing it. Anyway, 888-221-8990, 888-221-8990. And because Pastor Tom and Joe Martek are the only people on the team, Martek, the other people didn't show today.
Yes, what's up with these guys?
You know, I think they get, boy, every word I'm using right now is not salutatory.
I think they get busy.
That's okay, they get busy.
Well, they do.
But what happens
But we miss them when they're not here.
If you have questions on, so, oh, look at this.
Mike after has come speaking, to rescue us.
After speaking bad of Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, because he never showed.
I was listening on the radio.
Okay.
So you felt guilty?
I had a long drive to get here.
Yeah, yeah, 2 blocks?
That's more like three.
3 blocks.
3 blocks.
But see, the traffic was extremely heavy in Palm City.
Is it raining?
Yes.
See, and that slowed you down how much?
Not much.
That's why. Okay, good. Well, I like it when he's honest, right?
Mike, you're supposed to tell him they saved the best for last, right?
Well, I made it. I made it in time.
Yeah. You're late. But you're still here while we're going on.
I was helping a customer.
See?
I told you people get busy.
I told you. You know, I know. That's it.
I always give my customers as much time as they need.
And, you know, and that's the right thing to do. That's the right thing to do. You know, what happens is, like, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, will come up and say, yeah, listen to the radio, and they say, we can give you an insurance quote for your car in 15 minutes. And one of them says 7 minutes. And he says, you know, I don't get to know a customer in less than a half an hour.
Right.
I want to know my customer and see how I can help them and do the best thing for them.
I don't understand some of these commercials. When they say they could – provide all the service that you need within that time frame. I believe in giving the customer as much time as they desire.
Yeah, and as much as they need.
Yes.
And sometimes a customer thinks they don't need it, but you know, when you educate, all of a sudden, have you ever watched that? Okay, I got 5 minutes, hurry up, let's get this over with. And an hour later, they're still there because all of a sudden they started to feel comfortable rather than intimidated that you're not out there to take advantage of. And it's just one of the blessings we've had in this business. So Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, is here. And what happened is part of what I was talking about are the changes that have happened, especially, I guess, 82 would be as far back as I go in the mortgage business when we did negative amortization loans and interest rates were 16, 17, 18%. Mm-hmm.
Well, that was the only way people can afford to a mortgage at that time.
Yeah, yeah. And then when they started to bundle mortgages and do no-doc mortgages and low-doc mortgages, and then that caused this debacle.
They had a couple of words, creative financing.
Creative financing. And it caused major problems.
Well, you know, Joe, I've been doing this for 26 years. And for most of those years, we always had some kind of product that allowed for limited income verification or no income verification. And I still believe that in my heart that you can do those responsibly.
Well, see, here what people don't really realize. If you have a job and you get a paycheck, this is pretty simple because you've got your 1099, your W-2. But if you're self-employed, you may not work under the same guidelines that a normal person with a job does.
Sure. So you have expenses that you amortize out, like depreciation.
Yeah.
That's a paper write-off. It really doesn't affect your cash flow.
Right.
But you're allowed to take it as a deduction. Well, you know, when I say do it responsibly, we have a lot of retirees in our community. You have situations where people may sell their house in Connecticut and they may make $700,000. They have a nice retirement chunk of change. They might be coming down here with $2 million, but they don't want to spend it all on a house.
Right.
They have tons of assets, but they don't have any income. Mm-hmm. It might not be generating or might be too new to generate income.
Right.
So I think you can make a loan like that with a no income verification loan responsibly. Now, unfortunately, all of those loan programs have gone by the wayside.
Right.
So we do have to verify people's income nowadays. And rightfully so, because they did abuse that program in the past.
Now, I know someone that is living up north right now, and their house is just going under contract. They're going to end up selling their home up in New York, New Jersey area, and they're going to be coming to Florida to live with their son. Mm-hmm. And talking with the son, he said, well, they got to take all the money from the sale of the home and purchase another home here, and they're going to end up with some tax repercussions.
It's not necessarily true.
Right.
See, people think that's the way it used to be, but what they're not necessarily getting is good advice. Since Bill Clinton instituted a program that said, if you're married, you can make up to $500,000, $500,000 profit on the sale of your primary residence, and there's not a dime in tax. Now, I'm not saying New York doesn't charge something or New Jersey.
Yeah, they always have their hands in your pocket
they
in New
do.
York.
But no federal. So what happens is...
If you sell a piece of property there and move out of state, you still got to pay the taxes there before you come.
Probably.
Probably some state tax, I would assume.
But it is not going to be ordinary income tax. It's going to be a different kind of rule. Because the old rule back many, many years ago... You'd sell your primary residence, and as long as you rolled the profit into a new residence, you bought a house, cost more money, that was tax deferred. You didn't pay tax.
Well, didn't it used to be like capital gains tax?
Well, there still is capital gain, but not on a primary residence.
Well, actually, now, too, they have like-kind exchanges. So when you sell an investment property or a second home or anything like that, as long as you...
buy another one.
Yeah, you buy another one within a certain time period. And there are restrictions. You can't touch the money. It has to be in a secured account. There's a lot of limitations, though. But you wouldn't have to pay the capital gains on either.
Point is that they call that a 1031 exchange, meaning I own a piece of investment real estate, and I sell it, let's say, for $1 million, and I buy another piece of investment real estate for another $1 million. That's a like-to-like, and it's a tax-free exchange. Even though I made $1 million or $400,000, I can postpone that until I sell it again. And if I never sell it, we got a whole different ballgame when it comes to the family. So literally, good tax advice, knowing somebody that understands the mortgage business, knowing a financial advisor. You know, we counsel constantly different people. That's what we do.
And, well, you know, I would imagine that there's some folks out there that might have questions today.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, they might. They might be listening to what we're talking about. And if you do have questions, we have a toll-free number here that you can call, 888-221-8990.
You know what really impresses me with Pastor Tom is he didn't even have to look at the wall or see that to know that.
Well,
number.
I just spent 2 weeks saying that about six times an hour.
Yeah, right. I always thought you were looking up to pray, but I see that you were cheating with the phone number.
I'm cheating looking at the sign, right? They put that up there. It says at the top of the sign, Joe Martek, dummy, read. 1-888-221-8990. Now, if you don't want to talk to us on the radio, that's okay, too. You call the radio show. You'll talk to Connie or Pastor Tom. They'll take your name and number, and we'll call you back. And we'll help you any way we can. 1-888-221-8990, and that's toll-free any place. So, Miguel. It's called Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, but you know, I kind of, you know, once in a while he gets down to Dade County, and you know, that's, Miguel fits in better.
I'm desperately trying to hire a Spanish-speaking loan officer in my office because I think I turned away several deals because I don't speak any Spanish.
Yeah, I speak a little bit. Survey support.
You're hired.
Yeah, right. I know baño.
That's a good one to know.
You know that one, Tom, right? You don't know baño?
No, señor.
Yes, baño is bathroom.
Baño?
No, yeah, you got certain words that are critical.
It's for Hasharatim.
See, all of a sudden, what are you speaking, Egyptian now?
No, that's Hebrew.
That's Hebrew? Thank you very much. You know? Yeah. No, I don't know any Hebrew. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No.
I know.
But that's, how about, where's the bathroom?
I'll give you some Polish. Jak się masz?
Hefo.
You know, how are you? That's about it. Here we go. Anyway, anybody has a question for Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, talking about financing? One of the things that happens today, if you fit the envelope, there still is 100% financing.
Yeah.
The USDA program, it's a magnificent program. It's a great value. It's good interest rate. Yeah. But you have to fit the envelope.
Yeah. You know, Joe, I'm really surprised at how many phone calls I get, and people just, they just think that they need to put 20% down on a house. And, you know, a lot of times when you're listening to the TV, CNBC, these financial news networks, and that's the message they portray. But they're in a different category, most of those
folks. What they're doing is this. Fannie Mae, which is Federal National Mortgage Association, and Freddie Mac, these are two organizations, quasi or government group. They end up buying all these mortgages from all these lenders, and the lenders now get a fee to service them to collect the payments and give the money. Anyway, part of that is on hold until after this phone call.
Okay.
Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, Joe. My name is Anne-Marie Calderon, and I had called you before about some things in reference to some questions, but I have a particular situation. My mother-in-law has just received a letter from IRS regarding a 1099 that they had claimed Chase Mortgage Company had sent to her.
Oh, boy.
And they actually had said that it was like double because my husband and my mother-in-law actually owned the house prior, and they did a short sale.
Right, right, right.
And so I just was wondering if you have some advice because she's trying to get this cleared up, that they're now claiming that there's taxes that were required, and they're trying to almost sound like it was double the amount that was given for the incentive. Do you follow my question?
Absolutely. And in fact, you're not the first person we've seen this happen to, and you're not really going to like the answer. But, Mike, you going to handle that?
No, I'm going to let you explain that one.
Here's what
I don't like to deliver bad news.
I know. But here's what happens. Let's say you have a $200,000 mortgage on a house, and you short sale it, which means the bank agrees to take $100,000 and then release you from the mortgage, right? So now they say, okay, fine. The loan was $200,000. We have now taken $100,000. That means there's $100,000 left. Even though we're going to forgive you not to pay it, they then say, by the way, we're going to consider that income and we're going to send it. See what happened?
Okay, I see. Okay.
Yeah, I've dealt with customers in the past where they've had short sales where they were forgiven debt in the tune of $250,000. Right. And when that's 1099, you that puts you in a totally different tax category.
Let me just tell you, you're talking 30% on $200,000. You're talking $60,000-$70,000 worth of taxes. Now, here's one of the things that I'm saying right now. When this short sale occurred, it should have been explained to your husband and his mother about the tax consequences, and probably it was not.
That is correct, sir. It was not explained. And when she was on the phone, I'm sorry, Joe, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, it's okay.
But when she was on the phone with the mortgage company itself, she had to clarify to the gentleman she was speaking to that they had claimed there was two 1099s that were sent out, which was incorrect. And she corrected that. And then the other thing is that it wasn't even Chase Mortgage Company that gave them the incentive check. It was a title company that did that.
Well, the money came from a lender. The title company was the company handling the transaction, and they get a fee for doing that. But literally, they didn't do anything improper or immoral or fattening. The problem was somebody in that transaction, somebody from not your husband or her mother, did not fully explain everything that they should have had explained to them.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not a pretty picture now, because the government is going to say, ain't our fault.
Yeah. And truly, the bank is right in saying it's not their fault either, because it's not their job to explain the IRS tax consequences to you.
So literally,
is there no obligation that they have to, you know, divulge that
from
information?
From a legal standpoint, probably not, Tom. And I'm saying
morally.
Probably. Morally, yes.
Morally, yes, but and, legally.
But the other side of the coin was, if your husband and mother had what I'm going to call decent people working with you, meaning a good realtor, or they would have divulged this, because when you went to closing to get rid of this piece of property, they had to sign documentation. If you've ever gone through one of these things, it's like 20 or 30 or 50 pieces of paper, and it's almost impossible to understand them and read them.
Correct. Yeah. I did see that. As a matter of fact, we were trying to find all the information that she needed to complete the call correctly.
Right.
And that's why I was wondering, what should she do from now, because of the fact that they tried to say that there was two 1099s, in other words, not just for my mother-in-law, but also for my husband, which would have meant that they were duplicating the amount, and they only got the one check.
Here's what happens. If the amount of, let's say it's $100,000, and now they're sending a 1099 in your husband to the IRS and to your mother-in-law to the IRS, both for $100,000, that's a mistake. That's a clerical thing. That can be corrected. The thing that I would do very first is don't ignore this. Tell your mother-in-law and your husband, contact the IRS and explain the situation on the phone. Make an appointment. Go meet them. And you have to just say, we didn't know about it. What can we do? And you start working the process. I was talking to Pastor Tom earlier tonight.
Yeah, I was going to bring up a question that had come up that we were going to talk about.
Yeah.
Is that the IRS has a program to what they call that Fresh Start initiative for people to square up their taxes. And there may be an opportunity for some taxes to be forgiven,
literally,
but you got to contact the IRS.
Literally what happens is the new IRS, and I'm calling them that because we're not going to talk in the way it was 20 and 30 years ago. They're more user-friendly. They're more apt to help you. They actually have an advocate that works with people with the IRS to help these situations, because, I mean, nobody has this money laying around where they can just automatically pay it, but it is a debt, and there's a good possibility that between the IRS and an advocate that your husband and your mother-in-law can go back and maybe get the bank to absorb a portion of that. You just have to start the process, I think, with the IRS and say, we're blindsided, we had no clue, and now how do you help us?
Did they send you a 1099 for the difference in the mortgage or the assistance they gave you to move out?
It was the 1099 was sent for the incentive, because my mother-in-law did everything right to the T, and she even did it with TurboTax, which said that everything was clear
and she included everything in reference to the short sale minus the $3,000 incentive, because as you heard, that the bank did not say anything about that there would be tax upon it.
Well, my guess
and
was
had that she been notified of that, I think it would have been a whole lot different.
Yeah, probably the tax consequences is pretty minimal.
Yeah, first of all, if it's $3,000 rather than $6,000, which you can probably get that taken care of, now the tax consequence can be added. Is your mother-in-law retired by chance?
Yes.
Good.
There she is.
What happens is, usually a retired person does not have a large income, and it may not affect her taxable income 100 at all. One of the problems, and forgive me, I'm going to tell you my opinion big time. I'm not a big believer in TurboTax or any one of these things where you're not going to a professional, even though you might save a few dollars. Some of this can come back to haunt you. If you'd have gone to a CPA up front, it might have cost $100 or $200 to do with a tax return, but in the long run, I think it would have caused less grief. Now, in my opinion, you go first to the IRS and explain it to them, even meet with them, set up an appointment, and then I would bet that if they add that whole $3,000 worth of income to your mother-in-law, who is retired, living on Social Security and probably a small pension or a pension, is that fair?
That's about accurate.
She's not wealthy, right?
you see, what I'm just kind of trying to say was that with everything happening, there was also a move, obviously, because the house was sold, and then there was a move more recent. And the problem was, too, and she tried to explain, and this is probably what we can also explain, is that they were slacking on the way that the mail came through as well. So that was another.
What I'm trying to say is, here's what you can't do. Don't hide. Address it up front. I would bet that this $3,000 could be added to your mother-in-law's income this year. She could file her taxes, and there may be little or no tax paid. But you need to get it sorted out so that you don't get double taxed. What they're going to do is send a 1099 to everybody that breathes and try to collect the money. But once they understand the situation, it can be corrected in literally an hour. But you call the
IRS. Let me ask you this question. And I know you said there's a gentleman named Mike there. I just wanted to ask a question. This sale took place in 2013. So this is 2 years later now this is caught to them.
Yeah.
Is this unusual for that?
No, not at all. Matter of fact, that's when they're going back and looking at these things.
Yeah.
You usually don't get notified the year that you get the 1099. It's usually a year or two later.
You see, what they're doing is these books are all audited, and they go back. The auditors come up, and they'll say, whoop, somebody didn't send a 1099 on this one, so let's send it out now. And they got two different people on the loan, so they just sent out two, bam, automatically. Nobody's passing go. There's nobody trying to take advantage, but the key is it needs to get straightened out.
Yeah.
Okay, so it was just a clerical error that there was double.
That's my guess.
And that was incorrect.
That's my guess, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the best thing would be, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the best thing to do is call the IRS, make an appointment, explain the situation over the phone. Where do you live? What county do you live in?
Port St. Lucie.
Perfect. The Port St. Lucie office is one of the most user-friendly IRS offices I've ever seen in my entire life.
Just get there early.
Yeah, and what you want to do is call and make an appointment. Make an appointment.
Okay.
And explain the situation, and they will bring it up on the computer, and they'll have it all ready. And then you show them where the mistake was made, and they'll say, okay, fine, and they'll just take care of it immediately. And then they'll say, okay, fine, we need to add this to X person, one person or the other's income, or split it up between them. And I would bet you can have this whole thing handled and pay little or no tax all within just a few weeks.
Okay. Thank you very, very much. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Tom. I really appreciate your kindness. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that are probably in the same situation.
You're not kidding.
Yeah.
I think it was a wonderful question, and I like things that I think we can handle quickly, and I think this is one of those things that in a couple of weeks or three or four, because of appointment time, you'll have this whole thing sorted out, and everybody will breathe easy, because it's hard to sleep at night when you have somebody like the IRS hanging over your head.
Well, I can sympathize with you, because that has to be a terrifying feeling when you see a letter coming in from the IRS.
They don't ever send you nice letters.
No, it's never a happy birthday card.
Yes, it was. it was a little disturbing for her, and I tried to stay right beside her and just assure her that we're going to get it settled.
Well,
so thank you for the advice. So I appreciate it. So just make an appointment with the local office.
Yep. Make an appointment, and they'll give you an agent, and they'll bring up all the information. By the time you get there, they'll probably have it all figured out, and you just explain, even on the phone. Then they may want you to sign a document or two saying, okay, mom's going to be the one responsible for it, and how is she going to pay the tax? She's going to file it with this year's income tax. And, you know, I really don't see you having a problem.
Right. So it would just be that there was an error that two were sent instead of just one.
Exactly.
Is that correct?
Yeah. Okay. Unless they gave you $6,000 and they split it up between the two of you, which doesn't sound logical.
That's not what happened.
I would check that Social Security number on the 1099s, too. Make sure they...
I'm sorry. Say that again?
Also, check the Social Security numbers on the 1099s to make sure they're not one and the same.
In other words, it might be two 1099s, but it might be the same
under
Social
one Social Security number,
yeah.
too. I've seen that happen.
Okay. Very good. Thank you for your time, gentlemen. Sorry for taking so long, but thank you very much for answering my question.
Bye-bye. 1-888-221-8990. And I have to admit, Mike, that's the first time we had that question in all these years. And I know, like she said, she's not the first person.
Well, you can go ahead and grab that phone.
Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Is this Joe Martek, famous Joe Martek?
Does this sound like a refugee with a CPA license from New York?
Yes, this is him. I'm sorry I couldn't make it today, but as you could tell from my voice, I'm really not voice or radio ready today.
You know, actually, I thought you sounded better than normal.
Oh, my God, good. Maybe I'll just keep this virus going for a long time.
On the other hand, after we leave today, come and give it to Pastor Tom, because he feels neglected.
Hey, listen, guys, I wanted to point out something to you, and I hope that Anne-Marie is still listening to the radio show, because there is a way out for this woman. I mean, I heard the conversation, and you're not even talking about whether they had enough basis in their house in order to offset this cancellation of indebtedness income. Well, they may have had enough of improvements or other things to that house that might offset this income so she wouldn't have to pay any taxes on it. So that all depends on, you know, going through the transactions with her from day one, and there may be ways for her to save a lot of grief and a lot of calls and a lot of talking to the IRS. By just simply going through the documents and seeing what she has there. But I just want to let you know that there is, and for her, for Anne-Marie, and I hope she's listening, that there's
that's very possible.
Hope is not lost.
But what they didn't charge her was the difference from the sale price of the house down to their what they paid for it. What they charged for is they gave them a check, cash money, to get out.
It was an incentive to vacate the property.
Well, yeah, but that's true. But it's tantamount to a sale for them. They've gotten money for the exchange of the house.
I know.
And so therein lies the possibility.
There's a possibility, and it's a valid point, and it's something she needs to address. And if, usually on a short sale, you and I both know.
And
Vince,
you've got her number, so you could give her.
You and I both know that if they have a $200,000 mortgage and the bank accepted $150,000, it's pretty hard to get them back down to that cost basis up to $200,000 again.
Yeah, but there was some IRS exemptions for that.
But the point is that you don't know what they put
into that house.
We don't
know, right, exactly.
We don't know. I mean, yes, they had some of the mortgage forgiven, but you don't know what their cost basis is in the property. And that's important.
Yes, sir.
What ultimately they're going to pay taxes on.
All right, Vincenzo.
But I just thought I'd throw that out in the case that she's listening. And
keep your virus.
We can reach out.
Keep your virus to yourself. And,
it won't come over the phone lines.
Well, you are a tax person.
I don't know. Computers sometimes end up with viruses.
Yeah, right. Isn't that the truth? All right, Vince. Thanks so much.
You take care of yourself, guys.
Bye. Bye-bye.
1-888-221-8990.
We may have time for another phone call. But again, if you don't want to talk to us on the radio, you can call the radio station, talk to Pastor Tom or to Connie. They'll take your name and number, and they'll pass it on to us, and we'll call you and help you any way we can. What I was speculating, where Vince is playing accountant and saying, hey, let's just go through all the numbers and double check on the cost basis. But you don't usually see short sales worry too much about cost basis.
No. Well, I don't think that's the scenario with that last caller. There were programs that the banks offered to expedite the you know, the transfer of the property.
And that's
so
what they did.
So they just simply gave them incentive to move out of the house. And because it's considered taxable income, they sent her a 1099. And that happens all the time.
Yeah, that's about it. 888-221-8990. But if mom is not rich with a big income, add $3,000 to her income 1 year, it might be a no tax consequence or very low. So
if she's on Social Security as her only income or maybe a small pension,
right.
$3,000 might not even make a difference.
That's exactly. Mm-hmm. So once she finds out from the IRS what the story is, that'll take care of it.
Now, I didn't hear her talking about, you know, the forgiveness of the debt. I mean, they didn't 1099 her.
I think
there were some exemptions to that that the IRS authorized.
Up and for a good while, they were forgiving that, and that sounds like they did.
Yeah. Now, when one does a short sale, can't they stipulate that they're not responsible for any
absolutely and that may have happened according to the way we're reading between the lines with her. They weren't coming after her for $100,000 for the difference between the short sale and the mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming after only for the tax incentive they gave her, the mm-hmm. moving incentive
mm-hmm.
to move out of the house.
But one that's doing a short sale should make sure that
that they're not going to be liable. Said a good realtor, a good mortgage person,
mm-hmm.
somebody should advise these people about that up front so they don't walk into it. Like you said, getting a letter from the IRS in the mail is never, you know, it's like when 60 Minutes knocks on the door, don't answer because you know they're not there to say, we like what you're doing.
It's like the IRS, right?
Like the IRS. Yeah. Hey, by the way, anybody that might have questions regarding Social Security, regarding rollovers, I've had this happen to me a couple of times this week. People are not used to rolling over, let's say, a 401k or an existing IRA or a 403b, 457. There's all kinds of numbers and letters where you didn't pay tax on this money, but as long as you don't put it in your pocket, you can roll it over into what's called usually an individual IRA. And that way, you don't pay tax on that money until you put it in your pocket. So anytime you have questions on that or you need help with that, this is the person to call, and we'd be glad to help you. And Uncle Tom, we're down to 1 minute.
1 minute.
Wait a minute. You just flashed 30.
Well, I'm getting ready.
You're getting ready. He's got these flashcards, folks. The only people he gets to use them on is us, so he's been saving them up all week.
Well, they're used on other programs as well.
Oh, yeah? Which, mm-hmm. Come on.
Connie does. Connie uses them.
You use them
Francesco
on Connie?
Francesco uses them.
You use them on Connie?
No. Connie doesn't pay attention.
What? 888-221-8990. Just remember again, we're a group of local professionals here to help you. And 90-some percent of the time, I think we can help you make a nice, easy move to make your life a little bit smoother. Thank you so much for listening. Pastor Tom is now waving. Oh, we got rid of 30. We're at 15.
30 seconds. You're coming up on 15 seconds.
Mike, give us words of wisdom.
You know, I'm starting to work with some bond money up in St. Lucie County for down payment assistance. It's an excellent program. It's a forgivable debt. Might be something that can help some of our listeners.
Especially first-time buyers, is it?
Yeah, it's for first-time home buyers, and it's an excellent program, and they'll assist up to $20,000 towards your down payment.
Wow, nice. Thanks again, folks. We will see you next week.
You've been listening to the Team Martech program. The Team Martech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martech is available at 772-229-0114.
This is WCNO